new beginnings. I love it. I have a little, maybe a little bit of an attention issue. So, you know, in meetings, if they go more than about 20 minutes and they're full of details, apparently it's really easy to tell that I'm not there anymore. Apparently I switch off. I love new things. I love fresh things. I love things that bring excitement to my heart. And this season in church life is just that. I just love it. I love to keep things fresh and alive. I hate things that are stale and boring. Who likes stale and boring? Who likes stale bread? My grandmother, who was very old, she was 94 when she died. I think I was 26 when she died. She was 94. She loved stale bread. She would leave her bread on a tray in the back of the house, on a tray, oh yuck, in the back of the house so that she could make breadcrumbs. Apparently they were fresh breadcrumbs. So I'm not sure how that works. But I hate things that are stale. I love to keep it fresh. I love it being fresh because, you know, God loves new beginnings. He loves new beginnings. His word tells us that his mercies are new every morning, not every year, not once a month, but every morning God's mercies are new. So every morning we have the opportunity for a fresh start, a fresh start. A new page. Who loves new stationery? I love new stationery because you open it, it's got that new stationery smell. And you open the fresh page and then you make a mistake. You got to rip out the page because you can't have a mistake. Anyway, that's beside the point. All of that is beside the point. God's mercies are new every morning. He loves to bring freshness into our lives if we choose it. And I love that about God. I love that he's not boring and stale and old and yuck, but he's fresh and new and exciting, and life with him is just filled with opportunity and purpose. I love that. Because in the middle of a busy season, in the middle of a busy life, we so need that. We so need that. We so need that freshness from the grind that life can become. And I must admit, a few weeks ago, I was just plain weary, you know, like just tired. And so I thought, well, what's the answer to being tired? We sleep, don't we? Come on. When you're tired, what do? If you haven't got coffee, you sleep, don't you? So I just slept. And the more I slept, the more I wanted to sleep. And the more I slept, the more I wanted to sleep. So the more I found that I was sleeping and I wasn't getting as much done because all I was doing was sleeping. And I thought, oh, I just don't have time to just keep sleeping. It's not the answer. And so I started getting up early in the morning and walking. I was up the other morning, true story, before the birds were up. You know how you wake up? Some of you won't know this experience because you've never been awake this early. But trust me, every morning I hear, when the sun just starts to come up, the birds start to chirp and the kookaburras laugh and it's all very cute. I was actually 1.5 kilometres into my walk when I heard the first bird. It was dark. It was dark. But, you know, I figured that you reap what you sow. So I needed energy. So what did I need to sow? Energy. I didn't need more sleep. I was sowing sleep. I was getting plenty of sleep. I needed energy. But I also found in those moments, and I was only walking for maybe 45 minutes, in those moments it was more than just energy that I found. I found like soul food. I found this sort of sense of centeredness, this sense of, I just know the day is going to be okay. I just know that God's got this and I can do it. Because sometimes we all need a little bit of soul food, don't we? Sometimes you just need a little bit of soul food. 3 John 1 verse 2 says this, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Well, I don't know about you, but I want to prosper in all things. I do. And I want to be in health. That's kind of important. I'd like to be in health. I don't like being sick. I don't do sick very well. I'm not a very good patient. So I want to be well. We all do. I don't think anybody here tonight is going to fill in a prayer request that says, "God, please make my life worse. I just want my life to suck. Like, I just want a bad life." That would be awesome. We all want a great life. We all want to prosper. We all want to. We all want to do well. That's why we're here. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be successful. We all want to make an impact in our sphere of influence, don't we? You're not just here to suck air and die. That would be depressing. And that the good news is that that's actually God's plan for us as well. He wants us to be well. He wants us to prosper just as our soul prospers. He wants us to live big, expansive, exciting, amazing lives. Not just highlight reels that we see on Instagram. Big, amazing, expansive, too much information to put on Instagram in a day, lives. Honestly, if I was to record on Instagram all the amazing things in my life, no one would follow me. Because it would be like this. Because that's the way God has purposed us to be. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." That's the sort of life that God wants you to have. He doesn't want you to be filled with anxiety about what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't want you to be sad and depressed about the fact that the girl that sits beside you at uni is cuter than you. He doesn't want you to be envious of the guy who's got the nice girlfriend that you don't have. He actually wants us to have a great, full life. He wants us to prosper in all things and be in health. So how do we do that? How do we do it? It's easy to say it. But how do we do it? And the key to this, I believe, is in the last part of the verse we read before. Just as your soul prospers. Beloved, I want you to be in, to prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. Well, what is your soul? Your soul is the essence of who you are. It's your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. Some of us have larger emotions than others that need more management than others. But that's what your soul is. It's who you are. So the condition of your soul is really important. It's really important to your well-being and your future. Your soul. Like you can have the fittest body on the planet. You can be totally connected in like spiritually and be on fire, but if your soul is unwell, you won't prosper. You can have, you know, you could get up at 6 a.m. and pray until 6 p.m. You could be at the gym from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. and everybody thinks you look amazing, but if your soul is unwell, you won't prosper and you won't be in health. So it's really important. If your soul is healthy and prospering, then you are healthy and prospering and doing well in all things. It's all about your soul. It's a key. So, how can we make our souls healthy? How do we do that? We know that, you know, our spirit, if our spirit's a bit down, we can really, you know, reach out, we can pray, we can worship and praise God and have that connection and feel great. If our body is unhealthy, we know how to treat it. Sometimes we need to get some medication, or sometimes we just need to get up in the mornings and walk and actually get moving and get some health into our lives. But how can you get your soul healthy? And how can you tell if it's healthy? How can you tell if your soul is healthy? Well, I want to give you three things tonight that happen when your soul is healthy. So this is a three-point soul health checklist. Are you ready? Okay, number one, we change the environment. The environment doesn't change us. When our soul is healthy, we change the environment. The environment doesn't change us. So when your soul is healthy, it doesn't matter where you are or who you're with, you bring that health with you. You change the environment. It doesn't change you. Last week when I spoke, I talked a little bit about my story. And I talked about the fact that I grew up in a home where my parents fought a lot. It was a fairly... wasn't violent. It was just very angry, my home, and aggressive. There were super high expectations in my home. Super high expectations. I was an only child. I was adopted. There was this expectation that I would be the answer to everything that my parents ever wanted, to everything that they didn't have, and my mother was determined to live vicariously through my life. And with that came a lot of criticism. I can remember I played piano for about 10 years and I did really well, and my mother was totally tone deaf, and I can remember playing the piano for her because I was so excited I'd mastered this piece, and I stopped doing it because she would only pick the mistakes. You know, and it was debilitating as a child because I just wanted to be pleasing. I just wanted to be that, the fulfillment of that expectation that they had. And then I had this realization. I met Jesus and I realized that I was never going to be that. You know, they were not things that were for my life. I realized that I couldn't let that environment change me, couldn't let it put me in a box and make me feel like a failure and make me feel like I couldn't do anything right and make me feel like it was never quite good enough. I couldn't let it make me angry and withdrawn and driven and critical. I actually had to change the environment. God had given me the power to bring change to my life and to the lives of those around me. And I am none of those things. I'm not critical. I'm not angry. I'm certainly not driven. And I'm certainly not withdrawn. Am I? I'm no shrinking violet. Because sometimes I think we have a tendency in our lives, if there's some sort of dysfunction around us that earmarks us, we make it normality and we make it our level. Well, I could never do that because, you know, that's not the sort of home I grew up in. It's all right for you, Pastor Sue, you're a pastor. You know, everything just goes right for you. But you don't understand, you know, you don't understand what my life was like. And we allow that dysfunction to become normality. And you can't do that if you want a healthy soul. A healthy soul isn't changed by the environment that it finds itself in. It changes the environment it's in. It brings what God has put in us to wherever we go, and we change. We bring positive. We bring the positive. We bring the good. We bring the opportunities. We bring the life, because our soul is healthy. And if you aren't experiencing that, then you need to pay attention to the health of your soul. Number two. You can tell you've got a healthy soul if you give God the benefit of the doubt. If you give God the benefit of doubt, what does that mean? You've just got to trust Him. You see, unhealthy souls are waiting to get hurt. They're just waiting for it. They're expecting it. They're expecting to be disappointed. They're expecting for things to go wrong. They're expecting to be rejected. Because of my somewhat uncelebrated entry into the world, my birth mother was 16 years old in a time, you know, 53 years ago. That's a long time ago. There were no single mums back then. There was a lot of pressure on her to terminate the pregnancy, to get rid of me. Her parents, when I was born, she didn't actually ever see me, and she was told as they left the hospital that they would just never talk about what had happened ever again. We'd just pretend it never happened. So because of those things, I really struggled with rejection. I used to have this saying, as you do when you're younger and everything can be reduced to a soundbite or a sentence. I had this saying, you know, if someone could reject me as a baby, then what hope was there for me? If someone could reject, because, you know, babies are cute. Everybody loves babies. Everybody wants to cuddle and coo and carry. If my own mother could reject me at birth before I'd even had a chance to be cute or not, well then, what hope was there for me? So I had this rejection thing happening. So I was always unknowingly waiting for people to reject me. I had an unhealthy soul. I was always waiting for people to not like me, to discard me. I'd walk into a room and people would be talking and laughing, and if it stopped, I'd always think they were talking about me. If I'd approach people and, you know, maybe they were cranky about, I don't know what, and I'd approach them and I wouldn't feel like they wanted me there. I'd immediately think it was my issue, not theirs. I had a rejection problem because my soul was unhealthy. I was expecting for people to hurt me. Actually, I had a great saying, another soundbite saying that I had. I was quite the philosopher when I was about 15 years old, where it was like, I have no expectations in life because then I can never be disappointed. Oh, what a sucky saying is that. I can never be, I was never disappointed because I never expected anything. But I never got anything because I never expected anything. It was awful. Anyway, I had an unhealthy soul. You've got to be conscious of the theme of your soul because it will quickly become the theme of your life. It will quickly become the theme of your life. I needed to get healthy in that area. I needed to understand that there was a plan and a purpose for my life, that God did actually have a plan, that I wasn't an accident or a mistake, just a surprise. And He had always planned for me to be here. He had always had a plan for my life. He had never rejected me. He thought I was awesome. I had to get a healthy soul. So be careful and be conscious of the theme of your soul because it can quickly become the theme of your life. A healthy soul gives God the benefit of the doubt and trusts God through the challenging seasons. Number three, they get help when hurting. A healthy soul gets help when it's hurting. An unhealthy soul says, I'm all right, I can do it all on my own. I don't need any help, thank you. I can do it all by myself. I don't need you to come alongside me. I'm okay, thank you. That's an unhealthy soul. I'll tell you why. In Matthew 26, 36 to 39, we're talking about Jesus, when Jesus was about to be crucified. And it says this, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And then he went a little farther on and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible to let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Even Jesus needed help. But interestingly, when he needed help, where did he go? He went to the source. He went and he said, hey, this is really tough. And if there's any way out of it, that would be awesome. But nonetheless, I trust you. Your will be done. A healthy soul gets help when it's hurting. We all hurt at times. There are disappointments in life. There are hurts in life. There are unexpected things that happen in life that throw you a curveball. But the source of it all is always there. God is always there for you to go to and get help for that hurt. If your soul is sorrowful, then go to the source. A healthy soul gets help when it's hurting. It does what Jesus did. It goes straight to the source. Can I encourage you tonight? Don't live a life that is less than what God has planned for you. Don't allow an unhealthy soul or an unhealthy area in your soul to keep you out of a wide, expansive, amazing life, because that is what God has planned for each one of you. It's not just for the special people. It's for each one of you. And if you're not living that, can I encourage you? Pay attention to your soul. Pay attention to your soul and really feed your soul. We need to pay attention to keeping our soul healthy. If we want to prosper in life and do well and be healthy, then we'll be do it according to the health of our soul. Are we going to look at our souls this week? Do that little health check. Make sure you're okay. Trust God. He's got it for you. You know, He really does. God really has it. You know, sometimes we think, well, nobody understands. Nobody understands me. Nobody understands how difficult it's been. Each one of you has a story. Each one of you has a story of disappointment and hurt, of trying and falling, of having to get back up again. But God's got it. No matter what it is, You're on this earth right now for a reason, for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You're not here by some cosmic, I don't know, experimental accident collision thing. You're here because God intended you to be on the earth right now, pursuing the life that He has purposed for you. And the great thing about that is, as fast as you can pursue it, the bigger and more expansive it gets. It never gets narrow. It never gets smaller. It always gets bigger. And I love that about God. I love that about God. You know, I've never forgotten in my life what it was like before I met Jesus. I've never forgotten what it was like to be lost. I've never forgotten what it was like to feel alone, to feel helpless, to feel like there was no point. I've never forgotten that in my life, and I think it's become a strength for me. Because I can stand up here today and tell you that there is such a difference in my life now to what I expected it to be before I met Jesus. There is such a difference in my life. Now I can wake up every morning, and even if I'm tired, I can get out of bed because I know there's a purpose. I know that I'm here for so much more than what I see. I know that I'm here because I can make an impact and an influence in those around me. And even as an older person now, the road isn't getting narrower, it's just getting wider, and I love it. So I wonder tonight, I want to give an opportunity. All those years ago, before I met Jesus, I ended up in a church service a little similar to this one, not quite as cool as this. Didn't have the lights or anything. But I can remember, it doesn't really matter, that's not what it's about. But I can remember sitting there, and I can remember someone saying from the front, you know, really it's as simple as this. You were created in the image of God to have a relationship with God. That's what He created you for. He created you to partner with Him in the infinite possibilities for your life. And sometimes through the things that we do, the Bible calls that sin, we can feel separated from that life, from those infinite possibilities, from the purpose that He's brought us here for. But God is so great and so amazing that He sent His Son to extend His hand and to provide opportunity for us to walk in relationship with Him through His Son. And it's not complicated. I love that God uses the simple to confound the wise. It's not a complicated process. It's simply a heart response that says, yeah, I'd really like that. I'd really like that. I'd really like to be connected to the Creator of the universe and find the infinite possibilities for my life and live a life of purpose and know a great, big, expansive life. I'd really like that. So I'm going to give an opportunity, if you'd allow me to. I'd love you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And I just wonder tonight, whether there's someone here that would say, that's me. Man, that's me. I want to know that. I want to know that trust. I want to know that God. I want to be just connected to that purpose in my life. I just need to know Jesus. I wonder if there's anyone here tonight. If you are here, I wonder if you'd raise your hand. Just quickly. That's awesome. I see that one. I've seen you put it down. Anyone else here? Best decision you'll ever make. Life-changing decision. Wait one more minute. Is there anyone else here? Simply, no one's looking around. It's just a moment between you and your Creator. You just slip your hand up. That's awesome. I see that. Worth waiting for. Anyone else? Anyone else? That's fantastic. I'd love to pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that you so love us, that you so want us to have a life that prospers us, that makes us healthy. Lord, and I thank you tonight for those who've connected with you and with the possibilities and the purpose for their life. Lord, I pray that you would meet them right where they're at, that you would so gently guide them, that you would just so gently speak to them. And we're just so thankful, Lord, for this place and for being able to do what we do and for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. We're going to pray this prayer. You know, we pray this every week, and I love this prayer because every week I feel like every Sunday, three times on a Sunday, I pray this with all my heart. And every week it's a recommitment, it's a restart, it's a new mercy. It's a, here we go, God, for the week. So let's pray it together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow you. Amen.